Adidas reckons it can see off a challenge from Nike in Europe, but it's warning that supply shortages could see sales growth fall in the first half, maybe to as little as 5%. That would be around half the rate forecast by its US rival. Adidas plans to fight back with a renewed focus on sports gear rather than fashion footwear.
Were a few hours of playing video games and a handful of tweets worth? Well, turns out $1 million if you're Tyler Blevins, known to millions as Ninja, one of the world's most followed computer gamers. A Reuters source says 27-year-old Ninja was one of a few select professional gamers pulled in by Electronic Arts to play and promote Apex Legends, helping to generate a buzz that notched 10 million sign-ups in the first 3 days.
Britain's Parliament has rejected crashing out of the EU without a deal at any time. But it was non-binding and doesn't mean it can't happen.
Unlock!
After Prime Minister Theresa May's proposed deal with the EU was crushed in Parliament on Tuesday, launching Britain into uncharted waters just 2 weeks before it's due to leave the bloc.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's March 14th, 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for joining us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've got a lot of ground to cover this morning. We'll have the latest stock numbers for you momentarily, the latest on Boeing as well, more on Brexit. You heard there in the opening montage a taste of some of what's going on in the world of business this morning. We'll try to get to it as much as possible this morning. It is also Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell, and John Horton will be here from Associated Bank. John is the regional residential sales manager and vice president in the Chicago region at Associated Bank. We're going to talk about mortgage rates. Did you know mortgage rates are at the lowest point they've been in the last year? So now may be a good time to start your home shopping efforts again. We'll bring in John momentarily a little bit later in the program. Upping the digital game in the country could lead to better economic growth in the U.S., maybe as much as $1.4 billion added to the U.S. economy by 2021, if the digital landscape is improved a little in the country. We'll talk with somebody from Amazon in the next half hour of the show, coming up at 5:40, about their efforts to help improve the digital landscape of the countryside. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, the opening bell rings this morning on Wall Street, with stocks hitting a new high for 2019. Tech shares propelling stocks higher on Wall Street yesterday after shares of Boeing tanked at one point on the news that its 737 MAX fleet was grounded in the United States. Shares of computer company NVIDIA were up more than 1%. Amazon, Netflix, Apple, Facebook, Google, parent company Alphabet all up as well yesterday in a positive day on Wall Street. This morning, futures are pointing toward a positive open again on Wall Street, with Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P futures up about 0.25%. As we look around the rest of the world, in London, up by 0.5%. In Germany, up by nearly 0.5%, by nearly 0.75% in France. In Asia, markets are going to end the day mixed. The Nikkei down just a fraction, the Hang Seng up just a fraction, the Shanghai down nearly 1.25%. And in the U.S., oil is at $58.48 a barrel. That's up about 22 cents. As we begin this morning, Boeing is announcing its freezing delivery of its 737 MAX jets. Industry sources telling Reuters that Boeing will continue production of the model, but deliveries will be halted as the U.S. joined governments around the world in grounding the jetliner over safety concerns. The FAA decided yesterday to ground all of the 737 MAX planes in the U.S. because of new data gathered at the site of the crash in Ethiopia that killed 157 people on board. It's the second deadly incident for the MAX in 5 months. Boeing makes 52 planes per month, is expected to continue with production of the best-selling 737 at its factory near Seattle. But again, deliveries will be put on hold. The British Parliament today will vote on whether to ask the European Union to extend the March 29th deadline for the UK to leave the EU. This comes as MPs voted yesterday not to leave without a Brexit deal, and on Tuesday to reject the deal Prime Minister Theresa May negotiated with the trading bloc. A request for a delay would have to go before EU leaders when they meet in Brussels next week. One of the EU leaders today said that the body would be open to pushing the deadline back, a delay for Brexit, but did not talk about exactly how much time that would be. Let's begin this morning with Thought Leader Thursday here on the opening bell. John Horton, Vice President and Senior Residential Sales Manager in the Chicago region, here to talk about mortgage rates today. John, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing very well. How are you?
I am good. Thank you very much.
Good. I thought we'd have a conversation today about mortgage rates.
I think that's a great conversation to have.
So what's the headline in your world these days? Mortgage rates hanging in there?
You know, they're hanging in there, and it's one of those things we've talked about in the past. Unless it's bad news, you don't hear about it. Mortgage rates have gone down, not substantially, but they've gone down. We were talking last time I was in November. You were looking at about 5 1/8 on a 30-year fixed. And again, these rates are depending on credit appraisal, so I'm not quoting rates, just more or less giving a roundabout idea. Right now, you're looking at a 30-year conventional at about 4.5. So you're talking 5/8 of a drop in about 4 months. Again, if it's a condo, there might be a hit credit. But rates have gone down. People are qualifying for a little more. People that did close in October, November, not a lot, but some are coming back to refinance because giving your mortgage amount, saving 5/8 of a point, it's pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. And that says the numbers are the lowest they've been in, what, about a year?
Yes, as of last week, they were the lowest as they've been in a year, in about the 12-month period, correct. Absolutely right.
Go ahead.
And that goes as well as ARMs as well. People, you know, one myth that I always like to blow out of the water is you do not need 20% down to own a home. And I know there's people listening that say, yes, you do. I'll tell you right now, no, you don't. It's one of those things where it was just ingrained into people's minds from when they were growing up that you can't buy. You can. There's grants out there. Associated Bank has phenomenal grants. PATH grant is one where if you're in a certain area or fall below income, it's called a PATH grant. We will give you $4,000 for a grant. Even if you're not in that area, you could buy a home 3% for FHA, 100% for VA, and 5% for conventional, 10% for jumbo. You do have mortgage insurance. That is a conversation you need to have with your lender. Mm-hmm. But some people have enough put away that they could buy a house right now, and they're not aware of it.
Yeah, and you mentioned a couple of things there. First, the mortgage insurance. Even with mortgage insurance, that doesn't last for a long time, does it?
No, mortgage insurance, it really depends on how it's structured. Mortgage insurance will last until your home is equal to 78% loan to value. So if you put 10% down, you need to chisel away another 12%, either through extra payments, through the course of time, or the house appreciating. There's another option, though, to get rid of mortgage insurance is you could do 10% of your own funds, do 10% of a home equity from Associated Bank, it's 20%, and there's your 80% loan to value, you won't have mortgage insurance.
I like the word grant because that means you don't have to pay it back, right?
Correct. There are a lot of grants. There's numerous out there. Some cities have grants that they really don't advertise. But if you Google the county that you're going to buy in, does my town have a grant? Very similar to scholarships in colleges. You can go on a scholarship.com and realize there's scholarships out there. If you're a pharmaceutical major, Tylenol has a $500 scholarship. You know, things you just, unless you take the time, get with a good lender, get on the phone and have them help you do the
Well, not just a good lender, you.
Well, me, that's Call what I you. Meant. I figured everyone knew what I meant, Steve. Get with me, John Horton at Associated Bank. And, you know, and it's the conversation. People want everything immediately. Everything's at your fingertips constantly. Take a little time, take a breath, use your Google machine and find out what's out there in speaking with me.
It's not just that, too. It's a little bit of paralyzation, though. I remember when I was getting ready to buy a house, I was first paralyzed. I was like, well, can I afford a down payment? Do I have enough money? Am I making enough money? Had I known what I know now after meeting you, which is just to call you and have you kind of explain it all to me, the paralyzation would go away.
And that's just it. And it's like anything else. I can't change oil in my car, but when I go to the oil change guy, I feel more comfortable. If I was to try it, it'd be a nightmare. I don't do what I don't do for a living. You know, find someone you trust, me, call me, we'll walk you through it. It may not be the right time to do it, and that's the other honest conversation you need to have with people. This isn't a good time for you to buy a home. You need to work on credit issues. You need to save a little bit more money. Or you're paying $2,000 a month in rent. You could pay $1,300 a month in a mortgage, get a tax break possibly, and save some money. So it really is just a conversation that doesn't cost you a nickel.
So back to the rates. What do we expect to see with these rates moving forward? Are they going to stay in place? Should we get a rate lock? What should we do looking to the future?
You know, that's a great question as far as the rate lock, what they're recommending. But we all know what recommending does. You know, it's one of those things that last year they were going to raise rates six times. They didn't. This year they were going to raise them six. Now they said maybe two. And as I've said in the past, bad news in the market is good news for mortgages. Locking your rate, there's a few things you might want to do. One, it's a gamble, absolute gamble. Rates can go up, rates can go down. If you're really close on your debt to income, meaning the amount of debt you have outstanding divided into your income, there's a formula that it has to be below a certain percent or you won't qualify for your mortgage. If you're on that threshold, and your lender can tell you that, if you're on that threshold that you can't afford that rate to go up, I would suggest locking. I will never tell you to lock because if rates go down, I'm the bad guy. Mm-hmm. But if you're closing in 30 days, you're floating, and rates go up by an eighth, that debt to income could kill your deal. So you may be approved, and one of your conditional commitments on your letter is lock your loan. If you don't lock and rates are higher, that loan is null and void.
How long does a lock last for?
You could do 60 days. There's a no-fee 60-day lock. There's a 30-day. There's a 15-day. You don't want to go much less than 15 days just because your loan has to be redisclosed compliance reasons. So you can go out as far as 90. And there's long-term locks. Long-term locks, there is a fee involved, which is credited back towards your closing costs. But there's so many different options for everybody.
What is the driving factor behind what's causing rates to go up or go down? Is it just the Federal Reserve, or are there other things?
There's absolutely everything that's involved. And one of the things right now, what's interesting, is the China talks. And they said those China talks, if it's a win-win for everybody, it's going to be bad for mortgage rates. If those two fight and it's bad for everybody, you're going to see rates go down. So it is the Federal Reserve. It is what they say on a monthly or a daily basis. Sometimes it steers it in the wrong direction, but I say it's mainly on the economy. And again, mortgage guys are like the Grim Reaper for rates. You hear bad news on the Steve Grzanich morning news, bad for everyone else, good for the market for mortgages.
We have, based on your recommendation, the last time you're here, we've stopped doing bad news. Now. At least we're trying to stop doing
the John Williams Good News Hour.
Well, since you branded me as the contrarian, I've decided to be a little bit more cheery these days.
You changed your ways.
Right. John, let me ask you this. What's the inventory look like out there? People out looking for places to live, are they finding properties?
You're finding properties, and it's kind of interesting, and it's actually not scientific at all, but when the sun comes out, people are in a better mood. You know, you'll see those open houses right now come the spring, maybe this weekend if the weather's nice. No one wants to trudge through the snow. You're seeing a lot of relocations, which really the people have no choice. You're relocating from X to Y. You got to find a place. But I think your market inventory, there's more signs going in the ground right now, and it is kind of interesting. What you're seeing now, what you haven't seen in the past, is you'll see a realtor sign, but it says coming soon. So it's not yet listed, but they're letting you know it's showing up. So it's kind of neat. I haven't seen that. I've seen it last year, and I'm starting to see it this year. But before that, it was for sale and open. But now it's, hey, keep an eye on this house because it's going to pop on the market.
You mentioned the relocations. A lot of people are probably relocating into the city because a couple of the headquarters have moved downtown. Let's talk a little bit about that. Is the inventory in Chicago, are you seeing, first of all, any that exodus into the city? So what would be the opposite of an exodus?
Interesting number that I found was crazy is 68 suburban headquarters or major offices have relocated to the Loop, West Loop, or River North since 2007. That's huge.
It's big.
You know, you're seeing some things in, for instance, McDonald's that moved out here in Oak Brook. They moved out of Oak Brook, and Oak Brook actually called McDonald's and said, would you like to donate your 157 acres? They said, no, we're going to sell it. Well, Oak Brook, that doesn't tax their residents, bought the Park District. They put a tax revenue on themselves and bought McDonald's campus, and they're going to turn it into a park, which was kind of neat. So you're looking at one or two things. Most of those or a majority of those employers at McDonald's lived in the burbs because McDonald's was there. You're also seeing now a lot of towns, Deerfield being one, is beefing up their metro. They want to keep people in their town and give them easy access to the city because of all these businesses moving, you know, downtown. So it's kind of interesting. You see McDonald's leave, taking, I don't know how many hundreds of employers, Oak Brook making that a park to entice people to stay so their kids have somewhere to be, even though you're working downtown. But again, Oak Brook to downtown, 25 minutes on the metro. It could be a little easier. So I think it depends on the age group. I think if you have the millennials that really don't have the ties to stay, that don't have kids in school, moving downtown won't be an issue at all. And again, you just look out the windows here and you see the cranes and you see the building. People are definitely coming down to the city.
Does it create some opportunities to find a deal on housing in the suburbs in some of these communities that have lost their headquarters? Can you find a house for a little bit cheaper there?
You know, right now I haven't seen a big sale on houses just because some of the inventory is a little light. A lot of people are priced to where they want to sell. Some people are overpriced because they may not want to go. And that's where it comes down to interviewing your realtor. I was talking to a lady yesterday, actually, that has to fire her realtor. She gave her horrible advice and she killed the deal. Don't pick a realtor out of the paper. Don't pick it off the internet. Call your lender. Call me. Who do you deal with? Who have you had success with? It's one of those things you know, not that we have yellow pages anymore, but you're not going to pick your real estate attorney out of the yellow pages. You want to go with a trusted referral source that you know are successful in the business when it's not too late.
Do you still bake cookies at some of these showings?
They actually do say the smell is, I personally don't, but they do say the smell is huge. It's like people like, you can buy the candles now that have scents of whatever that they say make people feel more comfortable. It's like a new car smell.
Yeah.
You buy a used car, it smells new because they squirt stuff in it.
You know, sometimes we look at, back to the mortgage rates, we look at delinquencies as a gauge or at least a guide to see how healthy the mortgage industry is. And the latest report says delinquencies remain really low in the United States. That's good news for that industry, isn't it?
You know, it's very good news. And I think where a lot of that comes from is the credit quality. For instance, Associated Bank has great credit quality. They don't want to be stung in that downturn. That downturn killed a lot of banks, a lot of credit unions, a lot of savings and loans. So I think what commercial and residential people have learned is if you stay strict, stay rigid in your policy, you're really not going to have that bad of delinquencies. And I mean the delinquencies across the board, and I know at the bank itself, I'm not going to quote a number, but it's really, really good. It's they want to take care of the clients. They want to work out clients that are having issues. But overall, they want to make policies that they will stick with so it's fair for everybody and just make sure the delinquencies stay down.
John, how can people get a hold of you and have this conversation one-on-one if they want?
They can get a hold of me at 312-544-4616, or they can email me at john.horton, H-O-R-T-O-N, at associatedbank.com.
Always good seeing you. We'll see you next time.
Always a pleasure, Mr. Happy.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. New research out by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce commissioned by Amazon shows the increased adoption of online tools and digital services for businesses in rural America could create 360,000 jobs over the next years. And the impact to the economy could be in the hundreds of billions of dollars. Joining us this morning is Allison Flicker from Amazon. Allison is corporate communications specialist there. Allison, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, and we're glad to have you this morning because this is an important story. A lot of Illinois is rural, and so lots of new jobs and added economic growth would be a good thing.
Absolutely. We were really excited to see the results of this survey. It shows a lot of promise, a lot of untapped potential in rural communities throughout the country. And if you remember nothing else from this interview, remember two big stats that came out of this survey, that if more rural small businesses across the country adopt online tools and digital technologies, we could add more than $140 billion to the U.S. economy. And like you mentioned, more jobs, about 360,000 more jobs in rural communities, which is really exciting.
It is. And that $140 billion figure is not something that would happen over a decade. It would be by 2021.
Exactly, over the next 3 years.
Yeah. So give us a sense first, before we go any further, about what we're talking about here when we say online tools and digital services.
Yeah, exactly. We are Amazon is really focused on, over the last couple of years, really expanding these online tools and services. So that's making it easier for rural small businesses to sell online. It's making sure they have more affordable access to cloud computing. It's been working on our operations and fulfillment network, helping these rural small businesses improve pricing and inventory management. It's all of these different things, advertising and marketing that folks can do online. And we've seen firsthand that this has helped rural small businesses hire more people, grow their businesses, and expand their customer base beyond their own communities, beyond their states, and throughout the country and internationally for many.
Yeah, because we've seen the trends and they continue. The brick and mortar stores are going away. Businesses seem to be fading away. This is a chance to get customers, as you mentioned, anywhere.
Absolutely. We've really just seen so much growth over the last 10 years with rural small businesses adopting more of these tools. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of rural areas in the state of Illinois. For this survey, we talked to over 5,300 rural small businesses across the country. And for the state of Illinois, the data we found that if rural small businesses in your state adopt more of these online tools and look into more of these digital services, they can add $2.2 million to the state's economy and 8,000 additional jobs.
Yeah, and the numbers for the Midwest are even bigger than that. So it's a giant thing. So, Allison, let me ask you this. How do we get to that point? How do we begin to improve the situation? What are the first steps?
Yeah, well, we recommended a couple different things in that study, and I want to be clear, these are recommendations for policymakers, for companies, for communities, for rural small businesses themselves to look at right now. And there's three big things that stood out to us. First, it was making more training and education opportunities available for rural small businesses to learn how to operate in this space. It can be daunting if you've never done it, but once you start it, it really is easy. So making sure these training opportunities are available. The second thing is making sure that we can hire more local talent, folks who are proficient in digital skills, who have that digital literacy, because maybe they just haven't been exposed to it yet. So making sure that people can hire locally in these communities that they love and call home. And the last thing, which is absolutely vital, is making sure there's more reliable connectivity for the internet. These rural small businesses, of course, can't operate online if they're having trouble with the internet or they can't connect or they can't connect every day. So making sure that's an option in these communities would really help them grow and really unlock that potential that we know is there.
Yeah, and that last one is the big one I think a lot of folks tell me about as well, and even in our farm communities. This has been slow to happen. How do we light a fire under whatever policymakers need to get this done now?
Well, really what the survey lays out is just all pointing out that all of these things together can make this change. And we want to say, too, this is very much a team effort. It's not one policymaker. It's not one company. It's not one business. It's all of these folks working together and saying, hey, all of these changes, if we do all of this together, and like you mentioned, too, it's not overnight. It will take time. It will take years. But if we work together to get these things done and advocate for these things, the potential to grow the state economy, the country's economy, to add more jobs to these really vibrant and special communities can happen.
Yeah, you know, there's a cost-benefit thing that needs to happen here, analysis, because based on the numbers, $140 billion by 2021, it seems that would really outweigh any cost that people have been talking about on a local level.
Well, what we found in talking to all of these different rural small businesses across the country is a lot of them are already digging into this space, are already trying some of these tools, are already getting their businesses a little bit more online. So in talking to them, like you said, they are seeing from doing this that they're actually cutting costs to run their businesses. Their businesses are actually growing in terms of the money bringing in, and talking about things like hiring, that they're able to hire more local people from their own community who understand this space. That's really exciting, too. And I think, especially for some of these small businesses growing outside of their communities, letting the rest of the country, letting the rest of the world know the types of products that they're selling or that what's unique about their business. And I should mention, too, that when we talk to these different businesses across the country, we found that the rural small businesses that have the most to gain are those who bring in less than $100,000 a year and what we like to call micro businesses, which are businesses that have under 5 employees. So they really have the biggest potential, the most to gain in adopting some of these practices.
You know, part of this, you touched on it in one of the three pillars of what's happening here, is finding the talent. I know a lot of folks may think that some of this talent has moved into the big cities, mm-hmm. but that's not the case. I mean, there's a lot of folks that have chosen to stay in rural America, and those folks can be retrained if they're not already trained up. How does the training part of this, and again, you touched on it, but expand on it a little bit and how it might perhaps roll out.
Well, like I said before, it's very much, I think, a team effort. It's companies talking about this, it's policymakers, it's schools, it's rural small businesses coming to their communities and saying, hey, we really need this, we understand this, but we're having trouble hiring somebody who understands this space to help us out. There are a lot of skills, we can call it digital literacy, that folks just need to understand the basics to step into this space. And then when we talk at Amazon to folks who are selling on Amazon, who do operate small businesses on Amazon, they said a lot of it they're just picking up as they go because it is easy to catch on, because companies like Amazon make it easy for them to start selling online. The tools that we offer, the things that we're able to help with, knowing some of these folks are in rural areas. But it really is very much this team effort. And you mentioned, too, in these rural communities, just that, right, sometimes we think people are moving out to the coast who have these skills. We know right now there's over 37 million rural adults throughout the country, and about 50% of those folks are not working or they're not looking for jobs. So when Amazon saw some of these numbers, we really thought, man, there's just a ton of this untapped potential in this area for these folks to really just start learning these things and digging in. And actually, I talked recently to somebody who does sell on Amazon. She's from a very rural community in the state of Maine. And she said something that just stood out to me. She said, there's no place like home, right? I want to hire people from my town. I want to hire people from this community where I grew up in. And that really stood out to me, that people want to hire local. People want to support these communities. And this is a way to do it with the right training, as you mentioned.
This is a really important study, that the new research that you and the Chamber of Commerce have done. What would be the next step here? I know that Amazon commissioned this study on the U.S. By the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. What will be the next step? How will Amazon continue to play a role in this?
Well, at Amazon, we like to say, as you might know, I'd imagine you talk about Amazon on your program every once in a while, is that we're totally obsessed with our customers. And part of our customer base is serving these rural small businesses, folks that sell on Amazon.com. A lot of folks don't realize, actually, that more than half of the things you see on Amazon.com are actually sold by small businesses. That's over 1 million small businesses selling on Amazon. So we want to be at this table. We want to be a part of this discussion because we've seen firsthand this really entrepreneurial spirit, the innovation, the passion that these small businesses bring to selling on Amazon and every other part of the business that they run. So we will continue to pay attention to what these folks are saying, see how Amazon can make a unique contribution, and continue to support these small businesses with tools and digital services on our website to continue to unlock that potential, especially in these rural communities.
Allison, thank you for being with us this morning and sharing the details of this research. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Allison Flicker, Corporate Communications Specialist at Amazon. We'll link out to this research in the podcast of The Opening Bell a little bit later this morning at WGNradio.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, we're seeing numbers now fall into the red on the futures market. Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures are all negative now, down by as much as 0.25% on the Dow, down about 27 points. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. It's National Agriculture Day. Everybody take a farmer or a rancher or a food producer to lunch and say thank you for the food, the economy, and the environment that's provided by farmers across the country. Grain market yesterday saw wheat futures down 1.2%. Mild round of profit taking. Corn and soybeans ended higher after weakening overnight and early in the day yesterday as traders moved to cover short positions amid concerns about planting delays in the Midwest. Investment funds holding massive short positions. That's unusual for this time of the year. Many traders were concerned they would begin to start covering them if farmers planting efforts were stymied by wet fields and cold temperatures. So at the end of the day yesterday, soybean futures up 3¾ cents a bushel, and corn futures up 0.75 cents. Wheat, on the other hand, down 4¾ cents. And turning to the livestock trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, the lean hog futures mixed with the front month contract, easing on profit taking after rallying to a 3-month high. And a look at closing prices, the June lean hog contract up 67 cents a hundredweight, the April live cattle contract up 7 cents, and the April feeder cattle contract up 5 cents a hundredweight. Now again, let me remind you, it is National Agriculture Day, a big program underway in our nation's capital, and a salute to America's food producers. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a great day.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of more stories before we leave you this morning. Federal prosecutors in New York are launching a criminal investigation into Facebook's deals to share data with other tech companies. A grand jury has subpoenaed records from two top tech companies, according to the New York Times. Both companies entered into partnerships with Facebook to get access to personal information of hundreds of millions of its users. Facebook entered into partnerships with many top tech companies, including Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, and Sony. It has been ending those deals over the past 2 years. It's unclear what the criminal investigation is focusing on. Facebook already faces probes by the Federal Trade Commission and the Securities and Exchange Commission. Facebook and Instagram users around the globe had trouble posting content to those social media platforms yesterday. The company apparently had issues starting at about 10 a.m. Chicago time yesterday and continuing for most of the day. Some people saw staff error messages that says something went wrong when posting a status update on Facebook. On Instagram, the feeds would not be being refreshed at all. Shortly after midnight last night, the social media giant tweeted that the problem had been fixed, but there's no immediate word on what caused the outage. Facebook used its Twitter account to say a cyber attack was not to blame. It also explained it wasn't due to a distributed denial of service or a DDoS attack. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, March the 14th, import and export prices for February are due today. Trade analysts see prices for imported goods falling nearly 1.7%, export prices sliding nearly 0.6% for January. Also today, the weekly report on first-time unemployment benefits. Economists expect to see 225,000 workers filing first-time claims last week, 2,000 more than the previous week. New home sales for January set to be released today as well. Housing industry experts see sales falling by 1,000 to an annual rate of about 620,000. On the earnings calendar, Dollar General plans to release earnings before the opening bell, and Adobe Systems and Oracle set to release after the close. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, March the 14th.